Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
There is a place where time stands still, where nature is harsh and demanding, where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my land.
Kick it in the guts, Barry.
All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct
answers, did you get all this
and
together?
You go through that doorway to the greatest little country in the world.
Good morning, everybody. This is Annie for Showreel, a look at the Australian film scene. But actually, today we're really taking you down to the Sorrento Writers Festival, which is starting today, Thursday, and runs till Sunday. It sounds like it's bigger than Ben-Hur for the oldies in the audience. And we're talking to Ian Darling, who has got two sessions running at the festival, and that gives you some idea of the varied nature of the sessions. There's about 700 sessions running. There's going to be thousands of people down there, and the whole of Sorrento is going to be taken over by a variety of different and exciting and interesting sessions. And Ian is going to his first session, which, as he tells us, is actually booked out. It's called Cocktails by the Pool. And of course, I spoke to Ian Darling a while ago when his film The Pool came out. It's a fabulous film. It's a documentary, and it is built around all the people and the actual pool in Sydney, that one of those pools that edges its way into the vast ocean, but it's on the shoreline and in the rocks, and a whole amazing group of people live their lives, have a whole part of their lives involved in the social interaction and the swimming in that pool. And that's what the pool is about. He is one of his sessions on Friday. His session on Friday is actually Cocktails at the Pool. And as I said, Ian has told me that it's already booked out, and people are obviously fascinated by the idea of watching a film outside as well as guzzling interesting alcohol. On Sunday, he is going to be part of a session that is looking at streamers and how those streamers are helpful or not helpful in promoting Australian stories in cinema. It's got Brian Brown and also others, as well as Ian, in the panel. We talk about that in our chat. So here's my chat with Ian Darling, talking about his why he's there, why he's at the Sorrento Writers Festival, and why it's such a great gig. It's unusual to have a film be incorporated into a writers festival, but then I thought to myself, no, that's not right, because writing is the guts of a film as well as a book.
It is, but even I'm a documentary filmmaker, so we sort of end up writing the documentary films in the edit suite. But the thing is, it's storytelling, and I make films about sort of Australian stories, and the premise of these films are very much the way a writer sits down and tries to find engaging characters and tries to find plot twists and tries to reveal. So yeah, I thought it was good programming of Corrie when she decided to invite me down.
Yeah, that's right. And the film that you're actually going to be bringing to people is your latest film, The Pool, which is a magnificent example of Australiana, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's a story that's set around the Bondi icebergs, but while it's a documentary about a pool, it's more about a series of themes that are so relevant to people well beyond the swimming pool, that, you know, it's about the importance of community and connection, and it involves a whole lot of themes around mental health and depression and sickness and fear and just pure friendship. And those are things that we can all relate to, and I think that's why, again, at a writers' festival, it is a community in itself, and so it felt very relevant, a film about a community that's being shown at a big community event.
Well, it's a great opportunity to enjoy yourself, because the pool, your film, it has a lasting sort of impact. I conjured up in my mind just then a sensation. It gives you a sense of being by the sea, and that's wonderful sense of the ocean coming into your being. Your film is a great film for that. Sorrento Writers Festival starts on Thursday, but your first event is Cocktails by the Pool on Friday.
I'm hoping they're as enthused about the notion of Cocktails by the Pool. Maybe that's why it's sold out.
I think
But I think you're right that Sorrento, being a coastal town, there's something quite magical about the smell of the salt water, and it puts everyone, I think that's why we all love seaside holidays all around Australia, and the coast is such an important thing. It evokes a lot of childhood memories, and water is something that we've all grown up with, and the pool very much reflects that as something where families go to the pool, and that's the whole of the Mornington Peninsula has long been a place of families coming together and communities being developed. So I hadn't really thought about that as the connection, but it is very relevant for a writers' festival at Sorrento on many levels.
Yeah, it's a nice place, and I must say that part of the interest of your film, I mean, there's a lot of things about your film which is interesting, but because it's set in the Sydney Ocean, it gives the opportunity to reflect on the different types of oceans. Sorrento is quite different from the ocean in the pool. And I mean, I was brought up down the coast in Warrnambool, so
cold water swimming.
Yeah, hey. Cold water swimming. Yeah. As my father used to say, I'm going to go for a swim with the ice blocks.
Yeah. And I think that the universal thing again is swimming. That the barriers to entry for swimming are so low. All you need is in most places is a set of swimmers and some goggles. And so it's a very egalitarian thing. And that's what one of the things I loved about Bondi Icebergs is everyone was equal in their swimmers, and that's what you find all around the bay of Port Phillip Bay and even at, you know, Warrnambool is. Everyone is there. If it's cold water, no one's going to judge you as to what you do in life, or, you know, they're simply judging you on you're in and you're having a go and you're swimming. And that's what I love about it is at Icebergs, no one asked, you know, anyone what they did, but they could talk about swimming for hours. You know, it never ceases to amaze me, the conversation that people will have around something that's such a basic thing, but it's a shared language. It was that shared language. When we released the film at the cinemas, a couple of ladies came up to me with tears in their eyes and they said, "Thank you for making a film about our book club." And it took me a little while to realise what they meant, but I suddenly realised that, you know, it is at a book club you have that shared language, and it's a community, and it's a place where people feel safe, and they could see their book club in the same community in the pool, and hopefully the Writers Festival community will see themselves in the film as well.
Well, isn't it remarkable, because it will obviously take over the entire town. They say here that about 6,000 people will be turning up from Thursday to Sunday.
It's incredible. I think it's now the second biggest writers' festival in Australia after Sydney. And you feel it. I think, yeah, there's thousands of people there, and I think they've sold about 20,000 tickets. The thing I love about it, I go to Sundance Film Festival every year, and when you're at Sundance, the whole of that town is immersed in the film festival. And what I found at Sorrento, which you don't get at the Sydney Writers' Festival or the Melbourne Writers' Festival, is the whole town is embracing this Writers' Festival. And that there's something quite magical about that, that when you've got a single town venue where everyone's involved from all the stores, all the restaurants, but everyone's there, and it's this shared language I was talking about. It's a very friendly community, and I don't find that at all at the same extent at the Sydney Writers' Festival, that you can literally chat to anyone in town and you know you've got some shared value or connection. You know, you can say, oh, what was your favourite session? Or did you just go to that? Or did you agree with that? And if only life was as simple as that, that we felt we had that real sense of connection with everyone, I think we'd be far less grumpy in our communities and certainly in the world. You know, maybe a bit of the madness of the world would be reduced if we all attended these community events like the Writers' Festival. Yeah, in a single town like Sorrento, it's just magical because that's the focus of the event.
One of the things that you're particularly interested in is, of course, promoting Australian stories. I mean, you do it in some of the work that you do with Documentary Australia, but this kind of a festival in a country town like this actually is part of that fabric, isn't it, of interrogating Australianness, as it were.
Good point, Danny, that I think that's what I believe as a filmmaker is promoting the Australianness, but also in terms of the books, that film and writing are the two ways we can just escape and immerse ourselves in these really important Australian stories, both fiction and non-fiction. And for some reason, especially in film, we're too often, I don't know, scared or underwhelmed by the brilliance of so many of these Australian films, and they are so important in helping us to find who we are. One film that comes to mind, and Rachel Perkins is speaking at the Sorrento Writers' Festival about her book, The Australian Wars, that started as a documentary, a three-part documentary. And to me, it's possibly one of the most important Australian stories ever told, because it tells us the real history of Australia. And I think until we acknowledge what actually happened 200 years ago, we're never going to really fully understand our long, long 60,000 year history. You know, well, I grew up being taught history where Australia started in 1770, but to contextualize our long, proud history and then not run away from the fact that there was a major several decades of Australian wars with the frontier, with the first Australians and the British.
My little story is when I was a kid at a Catholic school in Warrnambool, we had to draw a little test, and one of them was to draw a didgeridoo, and I drew a didgeridoo, and I was told I was wrong because there was a curve at the end, and I sort of looked at the teacher and saying, "You actually don't know what you're talking about."
Yeah.
But not because, it's just that people were so unfamiliar with
absolutely
the world that we actually live in.
Yeah.
And this is why it's so important that there are new stories. And I know that you've got another session, and you weren't particularly interested in talking about streamers or stream rollers, but you're on a panel with some other industry heavyweights. You've got Brian Brown, who's turned his hand to novel writing. Michael Hirsch, and the questioner is going to be Virginia Trioli. So it's a pretty nice little number on Sunday, and it's at 9 a.m. So
9 a.m. and Brian will definitely be a great draw card, and then Michael Hirsch, who's the producer of all the Working Dog programs. You know, he's got an enormous amount of experience. But I think the thing about streamers is, we all have our Netflix accounts and Disney accounts, and they're increasingly being watched by Australians. But the problem is still less than 5% of content on all the streamers is Australian. And it's very difficult to get Australian stories on these platforms. That, I think, is one of the greatest challenges. And the government have come out with new legislation saying that that the streamers have to produce either 10% of revenue or 7% of expenses on Australian content. But it's so easy for a Netflix just to put that money into marketing and not put it actually into new production. So rather than the 25% that many other overseas countries have, is the demands on these international streamers for Australian content is pretty low. And what it means is far fewer programs than should be that are Australian. So we're not getting the Australian, the level of Australian content on these streamers that we should have. And that makes it very difficult for us to culturally understand who we are and develop and get a sense of our history. And even that 5% of Australian content also includes all the reality programs and sport. So when you break down the number of documentaries and dramas on the streamers that are Australian, it's so low. And I think that's a real pity. So we'll be debating that, I think, at that session and talking about how we get these largely American powerhouses to understand the importance of these Australian stories.
I think it's very interesting, the whole platform streamer thing, because I feel that as a watcher, we should be able to push, have some sort of effect on what programming is done, rather than just be passive. And I know for the industry itself, it's absolutely vital to have an increase in the amount of programs that are on, because it means that people have jobs, and it means that also the viewers are actually engaging in their own society.
That's right.
I mean, it goes without saying. I don't actually have a Netflix account at all, and I only ever watch it when I'm at other people's places, and then I binge on it, right?
Yeah.
And then what I discovered is that they're actually quite trying and samey. There's a lot of sameness going on in the programming of these
streams. It's totally formulaic. And as a documentary filmmaker, it's devastating to see that the only ones that they're paying sustainable rates for are true crime or personality-driven ones. And they're not that interested in the Australian personalities, the odd sport one. But they're not the stories that, you know, we should necessarily be seeing. I mean, it's just ridiculous that true crime has taken over our viewing habits. I don't know what that says about us as a nation, but it's the same in the States. And yes, it's intriguing, but it's also samey.
Yeah, and it's really samey. And it seems to me that viewers should be some mechanism for viewers to be able to do some pushback for some kind of difference, because like having a library access rather than just access to specific things that are rated by the percentage of people who have other choice.
There's a great platform called DocPlay, which is a documentary one, and that has a great library of documentaries and of all sorts. So, and it's Australian, and they've got a lot of Australian stories on it, but it doesn't have a big market share at all. And the problem with a lot of these streamers is the decision makers aren't actually in Australia. That they're in North America or in Asia, and they may be well intentioned, but they don't really know, you know, like those of us who are living here, what Australian stories need to be told. And I think that's a real problem where overseas commissioning editors are determining what stories we're getting. And so it doesn't sit comfortably for me. And, you know, arguably the Australian film and documentary industry, while the figures may look high, because a lot of foreign films are being made here, the actual content of Australian films and documentaries has never been so challenged.
Well, what's your view on the best approach to evening it up a bit?
I think we have to have the courage to believe in the quality of what we're producing, and have the courage to understand that Australians actually will watch our local content if we present it to them. And, you know, it's this sort of cultural cringe, but I'm really proud about, you know, what we produce as authors, but also as filmmakers. And we have to have this sort of, this paradigm shift that just because it's made in Australia doesn't mean it's going to be an inferior product. Quite the opposite. And I think that's a starting point. But we also have to be prepared to stand up to the bullies. And, you know, already these powerful US streamers And even Donald Trump has said that he doesn't like the deal that was done. You know, we're having to defend ourselves for all sorts of reasons against the powerful companies and the US. We should be able to be brave enough to say no. If you're going to sell your product in Australia, which is about the seventh largest market, so it's a very profitable market, we should be able to say no. In order to have access to our market, you've got to help our local industry. And we're not doing that. You know, a lot of great attempts by many people, including Brian Brown, going to Canberra and trying to get this on the agenda. But it's a very difficult one to get the government's sort of focus on. And as a result, we're only going backwards. You know, we've never been as strong as we were in the 70s and 80s when we had sustainable funding. And, you know, we still talk about those great films that came out then, from Gallipoli to Breaking Morant to Picnic at Hanging Rock to Mad Max. But, you know, it's far more difficult to just reel off the great films now. And it shows because of a lack of investment and funding and a lack of support from these large studios and streamers.
Do you think that Australian creatives are more seeing themselves as potentially going overseas rather than staying here then?
Well, it's interesting. A lot of my friends who are actors, it's quite binary. You know, some felt that they could only, you know, achieve the top of their craft by actually going overseas, both in terms of stage and film. Others make a decision that they want to stay here and simply support the local industry. There's no right answer, but for everyone who goes overseas, there's probably 10 that come back empty-handed. So for every one Cate Blanchett, there are 10 who don't get recognised, who have got incredible sort of talents. But, you know, they are recognised locally. So
it's kind of interesting too, because even the ones who become really well-known overseas come back and do films here, and they do it on purpose.
I think that's right, and that's great that they never forget about their roots, and they're very loyal to either the drama schools or to the people that gave them their first break. And I think that's a great thing about the Australian performing sort of community.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Is there anything you wanted to add that I didn't ask about?
You know, with the Surrenders Writers Festival, it's a safe space where again, I think the great thing about Corey Perkin is she's very trusting of the audience, and she doesn't try and tell an audience how they should think and that we should all eat our greens. She's there very broad-minded and is programming a very broad group of speakers and writers and journalists and filmmakers and performers, and there's something for everyone, but there's enough to challenge everyone. And I think that's the great thing, is being challenged in a safe and respectful way, but not being afraid to have the difficult conversations. And I think she's done that in such a clever way. And for me, having been to three of the last four writers' festivals, it's a great skill. Being an interstater, I'm very happy to keep coming back for more.
Isn't it? It's actually quite remarkable. I mean, the amount of work that must have gone into getting all the locals in Sorrento to open up their doors, and it's a hugely collaborative affair.
Yeah, and I think that's the strength of it, that the whole community is on board. And like I was saying before, that's the Sundance effect, having something in a single location where the whole community embraces it, and there's a real power and strength in that.
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely amazing. I mean, I was just looking at all the things because, you know, I've worked on Moomba and a whole range of other things like that. I mean, a program is one thing, but getting everybody else to knit in is amazing.
It's enormous, yeah. And getting everyone from all parts of Australia. So it's a big logistical thing, and they've only got a small team. So it's
a pretty remarkable,
fabulous thing they're doing. Yeah, it really is.
Thanks for spending some time with me.
Great. Nice to chat, Annie.
Yeah,
all the best.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye for
And that was Ian Darling. And as he said, he's on a panel on Sunday at 9 in Sorrento as part of the Sorrento Writers Festival. That includes Brian Brown. And they're going to be chatting about the role that streamers play in promoting or otherwise the Australian film and television industry. The Sorrento Festival, Writers Festival, is really big. And go online and you can check out a variety of things. You might want to tool down there over the weekend and go to some of the sessions. It starts today and goes till Sunday. It sounds like a wildly exciting affair. A lot of people have been asked to go down and show their wares, like Red Stitch Theatre, putting on stuff. There's a whole range of stuff going on, and film is one of the aspects of the whole kaleidoscope. Coming up next is Published or Not, and we're going to go out with the song we played before was Marlon Williams' Hello, Miss Lonesome, and Marlon Williams is just a fantastic, fabulous performer. And apparently this is also with Courtney Barnett, who's also fantastic, not only I. So talk to you next week.
One, two, one, two, three. When I was a child, I used to say, only I love, only I want everything that I see. And growing up was like waking from the deepest sleep. What I found was in the dream. Nothing was what it seemed. Not only
you've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.